when we called 911, they told us that there was nothing that they could do about it. We asked them to move them again. They said that they couldn't move them because they needed some machinery to do so. We went as an act of self-defense, of peaceful self-defense, with a sign that said SOS and with a plastic cloth to cover up the fence that was just in front of the generator so we can be protected from these fumes. At least 10 to 15 people had to leave the camp. We are now going to go to the courts to process the federal authorities for damages to health. The thing is that when we went to get close to put this cloth, federal authorities basically came out with pepper spray. They didn't do anything, but they came out with rifles. We in that time decided to retreat. When the media came along, they started moving the machines manually after they said that they couldn't move them without some machinery. That is indicative that they knew what they were doing, that they were actively intimidating and intoxicating people that were defending peacefully their right, their constitutional rights, because even though we live under colonial rule, we are still U.S. citizens. Our constitutional rights and the constitution of the ELA establishes it too, to free association and free expression. The ACLU, American Civil Liberties Union, and Amnesty International denounce these attempts of intoxication. Right now, generators are still active. Some of them are looking towards the camp, some of them are not, but they're not as close as they were that night. It is important that we stay vigilant to any attempt of repression against the people of Puerto Rico, especially those people who are resisting these types of politics of austerity and colonialism in a peaceful way, in a way that is looking for dialogue within the citizens, within the people of Puerto Rico.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is John Pacheco, Abigail Sloan, Ray Bodwell, Ken Jones, Layla Yao, and Jemani Ward-Lewis. The producer is Doug McVeigh. Special thanks to Free Speech Radio News. Our engineer is Danielle Parks. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Lisa Loving. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You could also find us on Facebook and Twitter at KBOO News. You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Ken Jones.
Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO, at 7 is Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8 on the Abe and Joe Show, Joe Uris speaks with Teresa Rayford of Don't Shoot Portland and Black Lives Matter about the recent police killings in Louisiana and Minnesota and about what's needed to change the system. At 9 on Alternative Radio, political analyst Michael Peretti speaks on fascism, the false revolution. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia. At 10:15, hear Flashpoints, investigative radio with Dennis Bernstein. At 11, Stage and Studio presents an encore broadcast of Refugee Dreams Revisited, hosted by Margaret Cho. And at 11:30, Andre Middleton hosts Air Focus. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. Please tune in this Thursday, July 14th, for our 25-hour fundraising marathon. We call it the KBOO-a-thon, starting at 6 a.m. Thursday and ending at 7 a.m. on Friday. Good night, Ken.
Good night, Jemani. Good night, Danielle.
KBOO News in Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
This week, the Race Talk series hosts the launch of a new book, What Does It Mean to Be White in America? Here to talk about tomorrow's event is Teresa Botman. Teresa, thanks very much for coming into KBOO this evening.
Thank you for having me.
First, can you talk about your work in multicultural education? What do you do?
Well, I work as a public school teacher in Portland. I teach in an elementary school. I teach kids who are learning English.
What age are they usually in the class?
Kinder through fifth grade. Oh. And this summer I'm actually teaching high school students English. They're all students who have been in the U.S. a year or less.
That's quite a range there.
Yes.
From the cute little kids to the almost these pre-adults here.
And I've worked with adults as well in the nonprofit world. Refugees and immigrants and various communities.
Is there a group that is easier to work with that appears is more open to what you're teaching them and talking about?
I enjoy working with all different age groups. I see now this summer that I've had the opportunity to work with high school students that I really miss working with that age group. I was a teenager myself when I came to the U.S., so I have a strong I really enjoy working with that age group and students who've come to the U.S. as teenagers because I have a relationship with that experience.
Now, what's your background? Where are you from? And you came to the U.S. then from that country as a teenager?
I came from the Czech Republic. It was Czechoslovakia back then. I came when I was 13, almost 14, so directly into high school.
So you're going through a lot of the same experiences that the people you're working with, the kids you're
yes,
working with are
exactly.
going through.
Yes.
Now let's talk about the book. What does it mean to be white in America? First, a little bit about the book. How'd you get involved?
Well, I saw an email that went out on a huge racial justice-oriented listserv that was the call for submissions. And it immediately caught my eye because I've been thinking a lot about what it means to be white since I came to this country. And I wondered if immigrant voices were going to be represented in the publication because it specifically was asking for the American experience. And I thought, well, I'm hoping that there will be contributions by immigrants who are white. And I'll make sure that there's at least one that I'll try and submit. And maybe they're looking for only native-born Americans. And my submission was accepted. So I was able to contribute yet another voice to the anthology.
Can you talk about the objectives for the book, kind of what you read before you submitted your piece, and when you talked to the editors, what they were looking for?
So the editors of the anthology are based in New York. They're out of Two Leaf Press, and they're both people of color, and they were looking for voices of white people describing their experience of being white in this country, in this society, through personal narratives, because they felt that most of the writing about race from white people was academic, but they felt that most stories written through the narrative lens were not really, there wasn't very much out there through just told through personal stories. So they felt that they were filling that gap.
Now one thing I've been reading lately, there's a lot of talk about white, which is a race, a color, but there's so much variety and diversity within that. The article I read mentioned that whiteness in America, at one time there were immigrants that were considered non-whites, kind of whites in quotes, the Irish, then the Germans, then the Jews, Italians. I would imagine from the Baltic states too, from the Czech
Republic.
It's
actually interesting. I saw a document from Portland that talked about who can live and who can buy property, who can rent property, and my people were way down on the list. Scandinavians were at the top. So it's interesting over time, the history of whiteness. The contributors to the anthology, there were 82 contributors in total from all different parts of the country. And we have 7 here in the Pacific Northwest that are doing the reading tomorrow at Race Talks. And we all have very different stories. And we come from different walks of life, different class backgrounds, different ethnic backgrounds. So, and that's what I think makes that anthology a rich read, because everyone's viewpoint is very different, everyone's background is very different, everyone's analysis is very different. So together, it creates a complex narrative, really.
When you came from the Czech Republic, Teresa, did you come directly to Portland?
No, we came to Seattle, actually, and I lived in Seattle when I was in high school. Then I went to college in New York State, and I moved to Portland after that.
Now Portland, I was interested in your take on the issues here in Portland. It's often been called the whitest city in America. I don't know if Seattle is second or something like that. Is that your experience?
Well, it's very interesting because it is true demographically that Portland is about 75% white or so, which is quite a high percentage of white people in a major American city. However, my experience in Portland has always been very multicultural and multiracial because of the work I do, because of the people I associate with. So it's a little bit dangerous, that narrative. I mean, that's, Portland is presented to the outside through various shows and pop culture as a very white city. However, there are, you know, about a quarter of the population are people of color, including immigrants, including refugees. And so it's that narrative does erase some people's experiences when we say Portland is a very white city. It erases my experience. I'm a white person, but I live in a very multicultural, multiracial community. So I want to be careful about that.
Can you talk a little bit about the piece that you contributed to the book? Was it specifically about Portland, your experiences here? Or?
My piece was just talked about learning about the history of this country and realizing, because when I came here, I was very confused about relationships. I was used to different kinds of friendships, deeper friendships, and I didn't understand how what dictates the way that people relate to each other. And I noticed a lot of things that I just had questions about. So I had to dig deep, and it took me a couple decades to really understand what shapes people's relationships and people's experience in this country. And I really had to learn history and dig deep. So I talk about that. I talk about my first experiences. I talk about learning the history of this country and why it was more difficult for me to create deep friendships and deep relationships with some people than it was with others, because obviously there's a lot of, I mean, some relationships are very historically loaded, interracial friendships, interracial relationships. So,
or across national boundaries.
Across national boundaries.
Especially in your part of the world. Once the Yugoslavia broke up, there's Serbs and Bosnians and Croatians. And
that's true, although I come from the Czech Republic, uh-huh. which is a different part of Europe. So Czechoslovakia broke up into Slovakia and Czech Republic.
And did you find any kind of enmity between nationalist groups here, based on your nationality?
Well, you know, my country has a history of being sort of overridden by superpowers. So by the Soviet Union, the Russians, by Germans before that, during the World War. And so we had, a lot of people have a difficult time getting over that historically, but I found living here that I have a lot in common with other Slavic people, no matter where they come from, if they're Russian or Ukrainian. I ended up working a lot in the Slavic community, and I realized that culturally we share a lot of similarities, so they're my people too.
In your professional experience then, what do you feel, I was going to ask the current racial situation in the U.S., but let me make it more specific in Portland. And we had Teresa Rayford on earlier, and she talked about the Black Lives Matter protest last week, where there was actually a white man who was brandishing a gun, and he was later arrested, but she felt the police took it a little too casually. I was wondering what your experiences are.
Well, there are definitely discrepancies between how white people are treated and people of color are treated by police. And that is one reason why I organize with showing up for racial justice. And we organize against police violence. We organize for racial justice, and we try to get more white people involved. And now there's a huge influx of white people wanting to make a difference, wanting to change things because they're seeing the injustices because of social media broadcasting a lot of the violence against people of color by the police. So that happens here, and still there hasn't been justice for many of those victims. So I try to do my part. We try to do our part with my organization.
Oh, Teresa, thanks very much for coming down to KBOO and telling us about that. Can you just give us very quickly a little bit about the event tomorrow if listeners want to go?
Yes, Race Talks happens at Kennedy School. It's organized by Donna Maxey, who's the founder. It's a monthly event where people talk about race. It's a different topic every month, and this time there will be excerpts from the anthology. Readers from across the Pacific Northwest will be reading about their experiences of being white, and we will talk also about how white people can get involved in working for racial justice.
And I should mention the event's hosted by People, Places, Things. And KBOO listeners, you could find out more on their Facebook page, People-Places-Things. Teresa, again, thanks a lot. Teresa Bodman.
KBOO for our 25-hour fundraising extravaganza of special programming and community celebration. Tune in at 8 a.m. for Voices from the Edge with Joanne Hardesty. Her guest will be retired Seattle City Council member Nick Licata, author of the new book, Becoming a Citizen Activist, Stories, Strategies, and Advice for Changing Our World. Again, that's 6 a.m. on July 14th through 7 a.m. on July 15th to support your community radio station, KBOO, Portland.
The responsibility of putting together this material is fully mine. I did it as honestly as I could.
Thursday, July 21st at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, as part of the Real Cool Film Series, KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of The Connection.